A little bit of this is going to be a recap because I just really felt like God has been speaking to us in such a beautiful way. And I think it's a song I'm trying to sing. I love. How many love? Loving's a lot better than the alternative, right? Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read together this morning again, beginning in verse 9, on the count of three, Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. So whatever version you have, feel free to read it from that version or quote it from memory. But let's all say this word together on the count of three. One, two, three. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Last week we talked about the power of forgiveness. And probably there's no greater word than you could hear than how to forgive and what the results of forgiveness are. Because the spirit of forgiveness is literally the spirit of the gospel. For we know that the reason we're here this morning is because he forgave us. He was our priest. And the priest's responsibility, and the beautiful thing about the Lord is that all of his ministry is translated to us. And everything that he is in ministry or was in ministry while he was upon this earth, he's also producing that in a people now. Everybody say, we are the people of the Lord. And so as a prophet priest, the Lord Jesus Christ has commissioned us also into a prophet priest ministry. And the ministry of a priest is twofold. It's first of all, ministers to the Lord. But out of that communion with God comes a ministry to the people. Because it's not good enough that I just have a relationship with him if I don't have a relationship with humanity. And my relationship to the Lord, as I receive from him, I'm able to give from him. As I receive from him, I can give something from him. And the more mercy I get, the more forgiveness I sense, the more love I have. How many understand the principle of forgiveness? That when you're forgiven, you feel a sense of gratitude. Amen? Isn't it great when someone accepts you versus someone that rejects you? How many love to be rejected? How many thrive on acceptance? And part of the message in this hour that God is really bringing home to the body of Christ is how much he loves us, how much he accepts us. And the beautiful part about God's message is that he accepts you just the way you are. Mankind has a difficult time accepting themselves, but even when God accepts us, because basically, our old nature always brings us into a place where we feel inadequate, insecure, and condemned. But the Lord said, I've come to set you free from that, from the spirit of condemnation, from the spirit of inadequacy, the spirit of insecurity. Now you are accepted into the beloved, accepted into the family. And a lot of people have challenges coming even to churches because we tend to base our church life or what happens when we come into a family environment, maybe even such as this, oftentimes we're a little bit scared of what might happen to us because of past things that have happened in other places. But in the household of God, there is no fear. The Lord said, I've accepted you into my house. And if I've accepted you, if I've approved you, then you don't need man's approval, do you? If God approves you, do you need man's approval? It's nice to have the approval of man, but it's not essential for our relationship to God that other men approve of who we are. Now, one thing that I found that if I walk in a spirit of grace, in a spirit of forgiveness, in a spirit of mercy, then I'm walking in the very nature of God. Amen? What's the greatest three-word sentence in the Bible? God is love. How many believe that? And so he said, if you forgive your debtors, then God will also forgive you. And that's part of this Lord's Prayer. It starts out with our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then we understand that in that beginning praise statement of saying our Father, what we're saying is that we now have a relationship to one that we had no right to have a relationship to. But it's because of the blood of Christ, because Jesus Christ came, shed his blood. But not only that, he became a mediator between us and the Father. Here we had a righteous God on one hand and a fallen humanity on the other. And the only way these two could be brought together was a sacrifice be made. And Jesus Christ was that sacrifice. He was the lamb that came to sacrifice for you. The lamb that came to the slaughter. He died on the cross, shed his blood, so that now we might have a relationship to the Father. And the beautiful part about this is now we can say, Abba, Father. Everybody say, Abba, Father. That's an affectionate term. When we say Abba, Father, it means that there's something of intimacy we have with our Father. He's not a Father that knows us from a distance, or that speaks to us from afar, or that's cold, but he's an affectionate, accepting Father that brings us into his very bosom, that brings us into his very heart. And it's all because of his Son, Jesus Christ, that he does that. And we know that once our relationship is established with the Father, we know that all of a sudden now we have a new sense of belonging. How many always wanted to belong to something? I remember when I was a child, and I was in baseball and in football and in other sports. The greatest fear that I had was that I wouldn't be accepted on the team, or that I wouldn't make the team. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all have all been there, right? Well, I'm not good enough on the horn to make the band. Or my grades aren't quite good enough to be accepted into that college. But in the Lord, you are accepted. He has become your Father, and you are his sons and daughters. Oh, how much he loves you. Isn't that awesome? Everybody say, it's so awesome that God loves me so much that he accepts me the way I am. I don't have to make a better grade. I don't have to put on a better performance, because he is Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is my righteousness. Nothing in me is any good, but yet when I'm in him, it's all good. Amen. I fail, but he succeeded on my behalf. I missed out, but he made a place. I was faithless, but he's faithful. I was poor, but he's rich. I was destitute and homeless, but now I'm a part of the household of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, Jehovah Tsidkenu, you are my righteousness. And we went through all these a few weeks ago, but it's so important to rehearse this back and forth again. And every time you pray to the Lord, and every time you come before God, it's important to realize that he is our righteousness. It's important to realize that he's Jehovah Nisi. There's a banner over us. He goes before us. And that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. That we don't have to fight the battle. The battle's been won. Amen. Jesus Christ is victorious over every enemy that you face in your life. You don't have to go in and try to battle again and try to make it happen, because all you've got to do is lift up your voice and triumph. Amen. He's your mighty God. Great is he that's in the midst of you. Mighty is the Lord in the midst of us. He is greater than any enemy you will ever face. He is Jehovah Nissi, his banner over us. He waves a banner of triumph in the midst of us, a banner of love, acceptance. And Jehovah Rohi, hallelujah, he is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for he is with me. Even though I face challenges that seem insurmountable, my God is with me. He never leaves me, nor will he ever forsake me. Men and women will come and go in your life. Friends can sometimes be fair weather, but your God will always be with you. He will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. He is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. The very essence of who you are is the DNA of what he is impregnated into you, where you become so one with him that you have the full assurance of your salvation. He gives you a very guarantee by the Holy Spirit. He guarantees and certifies who you are. Amen. You're pure. It's like American made. You're God made. Right? Not made in China. You're made in the heart of the Father. He created you in his own image. That's how much he loves you. And so we think about Jehovah Rohi, the shepherd, but we also think about Jehovah Rapha, the healer. How he's come to heal the brokenhearted. Isaiah, where it talks about, when Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. And we in our humanity are broken. We in our humanity are pretty pitiful, aren't we? And you'd be surprised at how many people, even in what we call the kingdom movement, have such great needs, that have consistently need to hear a message about healing. How we need to understand that no matter how much we're broken, he loves us so much that he heals us. By his stripes, we are healed. Remember back 1989 when I was going through a low point in my life and I was weeping and felt rejected. I felt a great deal of loss. The Bible opened up and it was one of those throw me down messages. I've talked about this before. If you're ever in a place where you don't have an answer, just throw your Bible up in the air and where it lands and read that. It usually will have the answer. And it opened up to Isaiah chapter 53. By his stripes we are healed. And it talked about all of his suffering and all that he carried for me. And all of a sudden I realized no matter what I was going through, what he went through was so much greater. And that I could literally take this deep midnight hour of my heart and transfer it to him. Because he said, my burdens are light and my yoke is easy. Hallelujah. And that everything that was weighty upon me, I could give to him. And all of a sudden, then I became free. Isn't that great? That the Lord doesn't let you have to carry your burdens alone. He takes those burdens for you. He is our burden bearer. Isn't that basic? How basic is this? But how often we need to remind ourselves that he is Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. And he comes to restore not only our emotional, mental, but our physical bodies into wholeness. And that's part of all that we're seeking to do in this house and through our school and through what we do here is we're becoming an instrument in the hand of God to take the message of healing to a generation of people that need him desperately. Not only does the lost need him, but the church needs him. How many know we still need him, right? He is. We have a great need for the Lord every time we gather. We don't ever come with an arrogant assumption that we have no need. But we come and say, Lord, we need you more now than we needed you before. Amen. Because the minute I stand in my own strength is the minute I lose myself. But the minute I stand in him, I'm complete. I am complete in the Lord. Everybody say complete in the Lord. And this very thing that he's begun in you, this very process of bringing you into his express image upon the earth, that process will be completed in all of you. Amen. How many feel some of that this morning? Everybody say it feels good. Praise the Lord. So, wow. Man, he's Jehovah Shalom. He's our peace. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall rule and guard your heart. Wouldn't it be awesome that in this city of Austin we could create an island? And, you know, Craig and Margaret were back this morning, and they have a place down in Turks and Caicos, and it's a beautiful island in the Caribbean. They're even, Margaret's over there fantasizing about it right now for eyes closed. And beautiful white sand beaches. Contrary, you go out of the ocean and you float in your little floaty thing and they bring you a drink. I mean, what a life. I feel so sorry for you guys, how you've had to endure that. But wouldn't it be great here in the city of Austin if we could create an island of refuge? A place where the thirsty and the hungry would go and they would be satisfied. The Lord said, come and eat. This is my flesh. Drink. This is my blood. Feast upon me, saith the Lord. Amen. And I will cause out of your bellies to flow rivers of living water. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could fantasize for a moment that we, in the middle of a city, like an urban city like Austin, we could create an island like Turks and Caicos. Yes, Lord. That when everyone walked in the door, it's like when you fly to those islands like that, you go there and all of a sudden all this weight just lifts off of you and you get on the island spirit and you carry around your little pina colada and you have your little hat you wear, your little umbrella, and everything is so wonderful, then you have to get on the plane a week later and come back to this, called the mainland. You got to come back to the mainland. And the Lord said, I want to give you an island mentality. I want you to feel that the house of God is like an island. Islands in the stream. How's that song go? Like an island in the stream. That when you come to the house of the Lord, there's healing and refuge and restoration. And your heart is so warmed by the very presence of God. That's what the Lord's saying when you pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, let there be islands. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. In fact, when you say thy kingdom come, what you're saying is that love, joy, peace, and righteousness reign in the midst of us. Sometimes we make this more complicated than it really is. It's just to be a place where love, joy, and peace reigns. That's your island. You can make an island at home. You can make an island in your car. Have island, we'll travel. Everywhere you drive, you say, what kind of car do you drive? I drive an Island Express. Everywhere my car goes, there's love, peace, and joy goes with me. What church do you go to? I go to the Church of the Island. Who are you married to? I married one of them island girls. Come on. Yeah. Woo. She's wearing one of them hula skirts. One of them hula skirt messages. Let's all come to the island of the house of God. The city that's been set upon a hill. The house of refuge, the place where Jehovah Sidkenu, the righteousness, Jehovah Rohi, the presence of God that's with us, Jehovah Rapha, the healer, Jehovah Nissi, the banner. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shalom, the peace, yeah, dwells in the midst of us. If we could create an atmosphere like that, there'd be no room to contain them. Instead of calling the travel agent or going to Expedia or Hotels.com, they'd go to COP Austin and say, there are islands close by. Woo! Man, when we go in there, we're just washed. There's this washing of all the burdens and all the heartache and all the pain just seems to disappear. And all that used to be in my life that seems so burdensome now seems so far away. It's like what he said, man, I've cast away your sins so far as the east is in the west to remember them no more. I mean, when I'm on an island, I don't think about any of that stuff, do you? Wow. Whew. Man, I'm ready to go back to Maui. Maui, wowie. I don't really have to go to Maui, though, to find it anymore. I can listen to Iz right here. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue. Come on, someone sang that. Come on, let's sing. Somewhere over the rainbow. There you go. I really know that song, but I can't remember it. I'm having an island moment. Woo! Just like Jesus created this place for you. He said, my Father's house, there's many mansions. And I go and prepare a place for you. If not so, I would have told you. Isn't it great that God has prepared a place for us? Amen. Some of you have just been living in the wrong place for too long. God made a place for you, a city of refuge, an island of tranquility, an island of freedom has been made just for you. Just by simply praying, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom islands come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. See, when we pray that prayer, thy kingdom come, we think about this big structure coming down from heaven of government. This big government coming down and taking over the governments of the world. And that's true. But it's not, but he said, my kingdom's not of this world. It's different than the world's kingdoms. It's an abiding place of spirit. Where there's this unity, where there's this creation of unity between the Father, the Son, and the sons and the daughters, where they're all become one and they're joined together with one heart, with one mind, with one spirit, and they all have the same heart together. Hallelujah. And in the midst of that, He rules. And where He rules, there's peace and joy and righteousness. Wow. How long have I been preaching? 22 minutes? Oh. 40 years. 40 years. You'd think I'd have some wisdom by now. I'm on an island time. Y'all mind? Y'all mind? Remember when I went to Jamaica? Or we went to Jamaica. I didn't know that what reggae was. Of course, we went so long ago that it was right after Bob Marley had passed away. That's back in the 80s. And I heard this reggae music, and I said, this is weird. I just thought there was that don't worry, be happy music. I didn't know that who shot the sheriff had anything to do with islands. You learn something every day new, don't you? Absolutely. You really do. I didn't know what token meant. I thought that was some kind of canoeing or something. We're going to go out and we're going to toke around in the lake. I'm sure don't know if I still understand what it means. Hallelujah. Well, where are we? You guys got to get your head out of the clouds. You got to quit dreaming all this exotic stuff. You got to get back to the reality. Paul was like that, wasn't he? He said, "Man, I'm a realist." And he went on to illustrate that, but I got caught up to the third heaven. Paul, are you a fanatic? A little bit. He's a little crazy, wasn't he? He said he was beside himself for the Lord. How do you walk beside yourself? I don't understand that. And he said he became a fool for Christ.
That's right.
Well, I know some of you have become that way. You're like Paul, aren't you? You really are. He goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. We know what that means, don't we? That means every day we wake up and we get to have whole wheat toast. Or bagels. No, it means that God is our supply. All my needs, according to what? His, everybody say it, His riches and glory will be provided. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. Where are you going to sleep? Your God is your provision. How many have found that time after time again when it looked like everything was lost? God became your provision. Amen? How many times has He been faithful to provide for you?
Every time.
He will never disappoint you.
That's right.
He guarantees that every need, according to His riches and glory, will be met. And I can't tell you how many times over the years that every time I think I'm going to fail, He always comes through. Sometimes later than sooner, but He never fails me. Amen. How many are glad God is your provider? He is your provision. We give Him thanks for that today. We give Him praise because we don't have to fear tomorrow. Now, your faith may be tested, but that's okay. It just makes you stronger. How many know testing serve to make you stronger? Don't make you weaker, they make you stronger. When you get strong in the faith, then it only makes things happen better for you and quicker for you. Forgive us our debts. We talked about that. Forgive us our debtors. We talked last week about how many times are you to forgive someone? Seven times? Seven times? I bet seven times 70. Or do you just keep on forgiving even when you think your forgiver has worn out? I've had some testimony. How many felt some transformation in your life from that message last week? Several of you emailed me, testified about how that it changed you. And believe me, if you'll keep that at the forefront of your heart, forgiveness is the only thing that will keep you in a place where you won't fall into the trap of judgmentalism. Judgmentalism is a deadly trap. It doesn't mean that there's not judgment from God. But when you take on that spirit of judgmentalism, and you begin to evaluate people according to your opinion and according to your judgment, you put yourself in jeopardy. Because judge not, lest you be judged. But if you have the spirit of forgiveness, then you're willing to forgive every trespass. And guess what? Every time someone's forgiven, it opens a door for them to experience a greater revelation of the Lord. The moment you condemn them or judge them, what you do is you stop the flow of grace to their life. That doesn't mean there's not correction. There is correction. Fathers correct sons, right? So don't let your grace be where you say, well, there's no correction. There is correction in grace. But there's always forgiveness and correction. Hello? There's correction in grace, but there's always forgiveness in correction. So if you're going to correct someone, you don't condemn them. You forgive them, and so that they can be released from the deception that's in their heart. Amen. Praise God. So if you come against me, you want to find something wrong in me, that's fine. But have mercy on me. Right? Have mercy on me. If you see something in me that's wrong, have mercy upon me. And then he goes on to say the conclusion of this morning, what we talked about already, that do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's a beautiful message in of itself. But I want to conclude with this. For thine is the kingdom, or yours is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Everybody say, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So the Lord's Prayer opens and closes with praise. It opens and closes with the reminders of the greatness of God in our life and how He works within us. And we've talked about this before, and this is a beautiful illustration message. If we had time this morning, I would like for us to illustrate. We will just a little bit, but if we had the full band, we could do it even more. But I want to talk a little bit about the ways we praise Him. First of all, we praise Him and give Him thanks with extended hands. It's called Todah. Everybody lift up your hands. Todah. Everybody lift up your hands. Say, I praise you, Lord. Now just begin to give Him thanks for your life. Just every one of you, just voice your individual expression. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you, Father, that you've redeemed me from the curse of the law, sin and death, that you brought me out of darkness, that you brought me into the life. I thank you, Lord, for my family. And thank you, Father, that you're providing all of my needs according to your riches and glory. I thank you, Lord, for salvation and power and healing and deliverance. Hallelujah. Come on now, everybody, you thank Him. Don't just listen to me. You thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him with your hands lifted up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Extend your hands in thanksgiving. Then yada, which is worshiping with extended hands. And you actually throw the hands out. So let's do that. Just put your hands down again. And let's just, everybody, throw your hands up. Yada! Here it again. Yada! Yada! Hallelujah. So it's a worship, just extending your hands out. Then the next one is the halal. Halal is the root word for hallelujah. Halal. Halal means to make a loud, spontaneous praise unto the Lord. We once had a church in Lubbock, Texas called Halal Chapel. Hallelujah! 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 And then zamar means to pluck strings of an instrument. So let's do a little zamar with our guitars here. Get some zamar going up there, Joe. Joe's a good plucker. Hallelujah. We're going to zamar. Come on, let's zamar. Then telah means to sing in the spirit. It's to sing in the spirit. Everyone's singing in the spirit. You can yoda while you're doing that. Hallelujah. La la la. Everybody say, woo! Hey! Then Shabak means to command, to address in a loud tone, to shout to the Lord. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Hallelujah! Praise you, Jesus! Praise you, Jesus! Glory! Hey! Woo! How do you know? Whoa! Glory to God. You see, what time you get through the Lord's Prayer, you can just be so lifted up out of the muck and the mire of this world into an island of praise and worship. It's just awesome, right? Amen. Let's all stand up this morning. Woo! Glory to God. Let's turn everything up. Get the drums louder. Get the piano louder. Get the guitars louder. Woo! Hallelujah. Tell a lie. Sing it in the Spirit.